Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today we're dialing up Vienna to find out what might tickle our artistic fancy. On the end of the line to talk us through a few of the best shows is Monocle's correspondent, Kimberly Bradley. Up for discussion, we have the latest exhibitions at some of the best museums and galleries in the city, the Leopold Museum, the Secession, and finally the Kunsthalle Wien, of course. That's all ahead on the Monocle Arts Review, so do stick around. Welcome to the show, Kim. Great to have you with us. Let's start at the Leopold Museum, which is hosting the first solo exhibition of the Belgian artist Belinda de Brucke in Vienna. Before we talk about Belinda, let's just talk a little bit about this show at the Leopold Museum, because it's interesting whenever you see a new director of a space sort of turning their hand and bringing their interests to bear. And the Leopold had a new director last year, Hans-Peter Wipplinger, and this is maybe a little bit of a departure for the space, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it takes about a year for any new director to get his shows into a museum space because they have such a long lead time. So this spring, his first shows are coming up. And what's interesting about them is that the Leopold was founded on the collection of Rudolf Leopold, and it's very, very heavy on Egon Schiele and Gustav Klimt. And most of the contemporary shows that have come in and out of there in the past decade or so have used people like Tracy Emin, but juxtaposed her works with those of Klimt or Schiele. And what's interesting about, for example, Berlinda's show is that it's a monographic show of just her work. There's no juxtaposition. There is a new Schiele show upstairs, two stories higher. But I think Wipplinger is really focusing on how these very Austrian ideas of the body or ephemerality are coming through in some other contemporary artists that may or may not be Austrian.
So, Kim, if we turn our sights to the exhibition itself and Belinda de Brucke's work, they're obviously sculptural forms, many cast it in wax. One imagines they might either be sort of rather kind of eerie and ethereal, or are they more sort of gritty and real? What did you make of the exhibition?
I would agree first with your first two words. The wax sculptures are very ethereal. They make you think quite a lot about the ephemerality of life. What Berlinda does is take body fragments and often juxtapose them or actually meld them with things like, for example, leather harnesses that might be around an ox's neck, or she'll place them on a bed of pillows in a kind of pietà form. She also has worked in the past, so this is slightly older work. She had one sculpture on a scaffolding with two life-size horses, but the horses are missing their faces and their hooves. But she's sewn them together. You can see the seams. You can often see seams between body parts and pieces of fabric. And I think that's where the title of the exhibition comes from. It's a bit creepy. There was a child in the exhibition who had to leave, but I do find her pieces very beautiful in a way. They don't necessarily immediately evoke death, but just the passage of time. And her drawings, I think, are my favorite. She's got drawings that are studies for the sculptures that are very light-handed. Some of them are a little bit darker, but I like to compare the three-dimensional works with the two-dimensional works. They're quite beautiful in color and form.
I was going to ask you about that, because I often find it interesting when you look at the, it's like, sketches for works that you come to know better later. Sometimes they have a quality all their own. And it's interesting that someone who is clearly so wedded to the sculptural form can be so effective just in two dimensions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a sucker for works on paper in general, and I do like to see the process that an artist uses. I'm not even so sure that all of them were studies. You could see this kind of dialogue going back and forth. I would imagine that some of the drawings perhaps came during or after the process. I'm not sure about this. But there was a fabulous dialogue, really, with the works on the wall and the works in the centers of the rooms. I wouldn't recommend this show for kids.
Well, no, if we chart the experience of that poor, luckless youngster who had to be led away. So one to approach with some sensitivity, perhaps. Belinda de Brucke's sculptures can be seen at the Leopold Museum until the 5th of September. Kim, let's head on next to The Secession, which is showing Oliver Larrick's new exhibition named Photoplastic, which transformed The Secession's main hall again into a sculptural display. Tell us, Kim, a little bit more first about Oliver Larrick.
I mean, I've known Oliver Larrick for quite a while. He's Berlin-based, even though he's from Innsbruck. He's Austrian. And he's done a lot of work in the digital realm. If you look at his website, oliverlarrick.com, you can fall into a rabbit hole and look at, for example, a series of filmic works, essentially they're animations called Versions. This sculptural exhibition connects to some of this older work in that he's still dealing with this idea of versions. What's an original? What's a reproduction? It all harkens back a little bit to the Walter Benjamin kind of idea of the aura of the original and how a reproduced artwork never has this strong aura. There's an essay that every art student reads called The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction. But what he's done, he's taken classical sculptures, many of them from the institutions around Vienna. He's scanned them, either with scanners or using photographs, and recreated them using 3D printing methods.
Kim, it's interesting because I'm a bit of a stickler for the classification of artists and their work. I don't know, maybe it's the empiricist in me, and we probably shouldn't do it. But it is interesting with someone like Larrick, who's been sort of bracketed in with the post-internet art crowd. But I know you feel that maybe that doesn't quite do it justice. And actually, these works again show that there's a depth there that maybe some of those other artists don't perhaps have.
I don't want to dismiss anybody, but I've always thought that Larrick was on a slightly different path, that he does have a bit of a depth that the others don't. One thing I've noticed about him is that you don't see him being so much of a market darling. He's very much an institutional artist dealing with difficult ideas and really taking them all the way to where they have to go. I mean, he'll keep exploring when he could just start selling, like some of the other post-internet artists have done. I mean, that term is already a bit on the wane. I think a lot of artists have distanced themselves from the idea of post-internet art. But what I do think is interesting is how sparely the show is installed and how even amongst the sculptures, he's taking this idea of original and reproduction he makes a few jokes. I mean, there's one sculpture that he does in several versions called Hermes Fastening His Sandal, which was a scan of something from the classical archaeology department at the University of Vienna. And he juxtaposes it with a statue from the Schönbrunn Park Palace, or Schönbrunn Palace Park, which is kind of in the same pose. And he does put a very large reproduction of a sculpture of Beethoven right smack in the middle. And these sculptures of Beethoven were part of the original Secession legacy. So he's joking around a little bit and using different facets of this idea of original versus reproduction. It's a little bit funnier. You have to watch it carefully. It's funnier and more sophisticated than some of the other work I've seen along these lines.
Yeah, now, Kim, it's interesting because we're going to talk in a minute about another sort of exhibition, in inverted commas, very much in the virtual space. And it's intriguing, before we go on to that, that Larrick himself is making a lot of these scanned museum sculptures that he's doing available in this open source kind of way, obviously with institutions who are happy to cooperate. And I mean, that's an interesting kind of dynamic, isn't it, when it comes to how artists and the viewers and consumers of their work get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, what he's done, the scan data that he comes up with, and sometimes it's completely in cooperation with the museum. I do know that one of the pieces in the Secession show, he did a little sneakily based on photographs. but what he does with the cooperative, the things that he's allowed to scan in classical museums, he puts the data on a website called 3D Scans spelled out, like three, the number, dscans.com, and they're available. They're open source. I mean, I don't know what anybody else would do with them, but there's a sharing aspect to this. There's an aesthetic aspect to this. He's dealing in the digital realm with stuff that's very, very old. When you start thinking theoretically about it, your brain can...
when you think about the theory of it, you can have a brain cramp.
Yeah. It just happened. You have a brain cramp. I find him an artist worth following. I've been watching him for a while.
Mm. Definitely. Well, our listeners can follow him themselves because Photoplastic's on at the Secession until the 19th of June. So still time to check it out in person. Now, I did mention, Kim, that we're going to end with this exhibition again. That's sort of in the virtual space. So indeed, you don't have to go to Vienna to see it. L'Exposition Imaginaire at the Kunsthalle Wien is an imaginary exhibition. What does that mean exactly, Kim?
It's an exhibition without an exhibition. The entire exhibition is in the virtual space. And if you read their documentation, they too are dealing with this idea that Walter Benjamin put out, like, what is real? What is an aura? Does anything really exist anymore? Is how you could think of it now. They're having a number of quite well-known European theoreticians speak. For example, over the past weekend, Jürgen Meyer-Ha, who's a well-known German architect, will be speaking about his work, will be speaking about digitization in his work and all these things that kind of question the idea of what the virtual space is. Other people who have spoken or will be speaking are Markus Miesen, who's a German architect, German artist Thomas Demand, Daphne Ayas, who's the director of Witte de Witte in the Netherlands. It's a pretty all-star cast of speeches. Some of them are live, like I said, but some of them are actually Skyped, although you can still go to the Kunsthalle Wien and watch the Skype discussion happen. The questioner, either Nicolas, one of the curators, will talk to the person being Skyped with. They're asking a bit, is this the exhibition format of the future?
This is exactly what I want to ask you, Kim, which strikes me as really interesting, which is, the Kunsthalle Wien, it's been pretty avant-garde in its exhibitions for some time, but does this offer a little tantalising glimpse into the more generic exhibition format of the future? Do you think it can catch on, or are there certain kind of problems with having a kind of a non-existent exhibition?
I mean, I don't think that any museum would start going completely into the immaterial realm. People like objects. They like to see objects. The rest of our lives are very virtual. We like a big piece of marble carved into something nice. So I don't think this is going to be something that catches on across the board. But what I've seen in the past 5 to 10 years is an incredible push towards the discursive end of the art world. Like, normal art lovers who may or may not be theoreticians really want to hear what people have to say. It may parallel a little bit this idea of the TED Talk. You know, the regular world is also interested in these discussions and conferences. I think what the Kunsthalle is doing is experimenting with the new format. They're experimenting with, you know, how this resonates with audiences. They're checking to see how many people across the global art world are tuning in online to this discussion series, seeing how many people actually come to the physical space, whether that makes a difference. Again, it's a little bit like this idea of original versus reproduction. What is original? Does it matter?
Indeed. And that is all we have time for from our own original in Vienna, Kimberly Bradley. Kim, thanks for being on the show, as always. If you're interested in sort of seeing or not seeing, I guess would be the expression, for L'Exposition Imaginaire, it's at the Kunsthalle Wien until the 26th of June. Thanks once again to Kim Bradley. Thanks to our producer on the Monocle Arts Review, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow talking music. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening.